Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two thoughts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Rotatoes, it is me, Jasper, back again to tell you that you got to be on the Patreon, because that is where we are currently releasing ARC 12. And also, you can go onto Patreon and for free, you can find a link to Rotating Heroes Animated, which is a really, really cool little short that we commissioned with Deep Blue Ink, who does all of the Dimension 20 animated and the Dwarfy animated, and it came out so well. We picked a really awesome scene from Nance, and I think you're going to love it. So go to the Patreon right now. I think it's our pinned post on there, and you can find the Rotating Heroes Animated. First ever one. See the link right now. It's going to be amazing. Take it away, Pastor Zach.
And now presenting the Rotating Heroes podcast. Welcome
to the Rotating Heroes podcast. I am joined, as always, so far for the final time by the Rotators of the Seventh Arc. We're here. We're about to face. I'll be honest. The first thing I thought of was we're queer.
Yeah.
And then I was
I mean, I said it in my head.
Where
too.
Are we?
I'll make you feel alone.
Yeah, sure.
And what a sign of a great chant.
that it is so powerful.
It was already in our head.
You could just say we're here, and you know
everyone thinks we're queer next.
Yeah, wow, powerful chants, powerful stories being told here today.
Nice.
And speaking of a powerful storyteller, someone who takes you into the finest taverns, spits and dives, we have the Leonin bard himself, the man whose catchphrase is keep eating. We have Sago Glug, aka Dan Lipper. Hey,
how are you, baby? How you doing today?
I'm good. I'm feeling great, feeling groovy, getting ready for this final battle.
Yeah,
how are
same. You? I'm good. I realized that I, with my silly little fingers, switched a spell, like pushed the wrong spell when I was setting my spells up. And so as we're talking about this now, I'm trying to fix that.
Okay.
So I'm half connected and I'm half in that world of trying to find what's
going on. You're in between worlds at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. Which
so true, man.
The space
so true.
Between.
Oh, here we go.
And here
my friend Jacob in 2008 hit me up in the morning one morning and was like, hey, dude, I'm in LA. Can I crash at your place? And I was like, sure. And he was like, cool. To thank you, I'll bring you to Dave Matthews tonight. And I was like, I don't like Dave Matthews, but okay. So that's every time I think of him now, I think of that lovely gift he gave me. Seeing Dave Matthews at Staples.
You saw them.
2 days after their the guy died. What instrument was it? The saxophone?
Violinist. This wasn't you?
No, a different Jacob.
Oh. I think it was a violin guy.
I thought it was a saxophone. I'm not incredibly familiar, but I think saxophone.
It was one of the less exciting instruments, but
still,
it was a little surprising to me that they still did the show, but
yeah.
You know how sometimes people do the thing I guess it's a weird, dark way to start, but people are like, he would have wanted us to do this. I think people use that as an excuse sometimes to just do what they want.
Yes, of course they do.
Because totally. The dead person can't be like, no, I didn't.
Oh, actually, that's wrong.
Well, Jacob would have wanted you to introduce the next guest. Jacob. We, of course, our Loxodon Druid, Grib the Rock Johnson here, facing off against this bronze 20-foot-tall elf man in front of him, Warforged elf man in front of him. Jacob, how we doing?
What's up?
There it is.
Difference.
Sad that this is coming to a close again for me. I feel like you keep bringing me in and you keep sending me out. Ain't that life, though?
Yeah.
The tide.
She's
the tide is the cycle of the moon.
Hey, huh? Baby. Decided to make it on the moon.
Look, I'm feeling sentimental and I'm not going to make sense.
Hey,
you feel thanks for having me. Happy to be here. The story's shaping out so fun, Zach. What a dream.
Thank you, man.
What a dream and a nightmare because it's coming to a close.
Yeah, and close, and hopefully, you know, it seems like it's going to be a dangerous close. Who knows how dangerous.
Danger, watch yourself. Show me what you're looking for.
Get on the floor.
Stretch.
Been so long.
Thank you for stalling.
I can't really hold my dick in my hand.
Wow. Yeah, I had to go inside, get a couple things, and they covered for me.
Seamlessly. It sounded just like what you would have done.
Cover for me with mystical.
Yeah.
Mystical.
And of course, our most mystical player in this group. We have the Loxodon Fighter.
Hi.
Rekha Shankar, how are you?
Hello, I'm so great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. How do you feel Uh-Oh's doing these days? I feel like Uh-Oh hit maybe a stride last episode.
I think she's hitting a stride. She feels useful. Yeah. I have a feeling that she thinks she's going through an evolution where she's like, I'm a born tour guide. And she's like, but I've always wanted to be a dancer. And she's sort of in this like weird
dancer hybrid.
Yeah, sort of hybrid situation. I'm like, maybe she realizes it's neither of those things. Maybe she's supposed to be a strong hero lady. I don't know.
I can see that.
Could be cool. Or maybe she's a dancer. I don't know. Yeah. This is improvised. I don't have a plan.
That reminds me, we'll have to just save it for the next arc bark, but I had a doggy treat that I forgot to say in this last about that. So
what the hell?
I hope we remember.
I'm not gonna write it down. He's not gonna remember.
I'll remember it. I get the memory of a goddamn steel trap.
I believe it.
No brain.
Yeah, that's metal, man.
It keeps it all in.
Sounds like an empty box. Made
of metal. Got the memory in an empty box.
Well. Why don't we get into a little recap about what happened last time?
Grib, Sago, and Uh-Oh journeyed into the volcanic temple in Mount Truncus. Their mission? To forge the spear needed to quell the fiery elemental god Pulphoros and save Pompa Pompa from certain doom. Along the way, they met a dusty Loxodon named Kerb who guided them in their task. Our heroes eventually succeeded in crafting the spear. They raced back down just to be stopped by a warforged elf in disguise. In an awesome display of power, this mysterious bronze villain destroyed the magical glen needed to use the spear, and now we pick back up with the battle about to begin.
And that brings us where we are today, facing off against this 20-foot-tall warforged titan and the little floating elephant head nearby. We'll all start off this climactic battle by rolling initiative, and then also let's all, I'll give everyone an insight or a perception check or whatever to just start this battle off. So tell me your initiative first, and then we will go into the other stuff.
So I've been rolling low initiatives all goddamn life.
14.
Okay.
18.
4.
So we're at the top of the order for this first round. You see Mount Truncus rumbling. As it continues to rumble, lava now is spitting out of the entrance of the temple that you exited just now. It is flowing down the mountain. You see these Loxodon druids and centurions working with, like, they have, like, some stuff prepped in the case of a volcanic eruption where, like, they have, like, boulders that they knock into the path, and druids are kind of creating channels and stuff. It's all stalling tactics, though. This won't last long. They are stopping the flow of lava from getting to where you guys are now. You see a full-scale evacuation is undergoing right now
from this volcanic eruption. Seems like Mount Trunkus will do something on every turn in terms of the explosion stuff. But before Grib goes, you see this whirring little elephant head made of the same metallic metal that, I mean, metallic kind of obsidian bronze veined head just kind of floating around like a weird little drone. It's like eyes are darting around. It seems alive in some way. I think you would, I'll give you for free that it doesn't seem like it is a mindless thing. It seems like it's working independently of the body that it came off of.
Got it.
And it's going to take its action. It is going to fly in, and you see that its mouth opens up and a little cannon comes out, and you see a gout of flame hit all of you. So that is going to be...
Do we still have flame resistance?
You still have it up. So everyone make a DC 14 dex saving throw. You two still have your cat's grace, though.
9.
22.
4. So this thing comes in with this, and it's going to hit you all for 30 points of fire damage. So that's going to be half to 15 because of the potions that you had. You're going to take a quarter of 15, so you'll take 7 points of damage. Did you pass the 14? I forget what you said.
I did not pass.
Okay, so you both take 15 points of damage from this. Jeez. As it does its drive-by flame attack. While it's doing that, Grib, make an insight. Give me an arcana check or a nature check.
17 arcana.
You see this thing fly past you, flaming you. It has a jewel in its head similar to what you have, but it is this like robot thing. You get the sense that this thing is concentrating on something, but that's all you get as it flies past you. After that, it is Grib's turn. Grib, you are face-to-face with this bronze titan in front of you. That little flying thing flew by you. The little elephant head shot out of the frame. What are we doing?
I'm going to cast Conjure Minor Elementals. And I will conjure an Azure, if I'm allowed to
An Azure?
An Azure.
The, yeah. Like, bronze?
Like, yeah, and this dude's fucking rip. This.
What? Let me double check. Like, can you, is this guy an elemental, or is it on the chart of that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he's a medium elemental. He's got a CR of 2. It, very similar to how Grib summons Zwom. He kind of, like, smacks his foot down and raises out of some molten lava this like metal sort of anthropomorphic fire dwarf with like a giant hammer.
See this fiery headed dwarf crawl out of the lava like, oh hell, fuck. Oh god damn it. What is this? And it stands by your side.
Yeah,
you're now concentrating on this spell, correct?
Ooh, I did not think about that.
Let's just double check just to make sure.
It is.
You can still use other magic, but like nothing that requires a concentration unless you release the concentration of this.
Yeah, so he's there. I don't know if he gets a turn.
Yeah, I'll say he'll just go on your turn just to keep it simple.
Cool. Let's just say that this guy's everything Zwom wishes he could be.
Zwom is looking over and is like, are you for real? hey, Grib, can we talk over here for a second?
There's no time to chat, lad.
Grib, come here. I'm serious.
He just like quickly
knees
down.
I'm pissed off, dude. I'm really pissed off.
We needed to bring in the big guns.
And you got them right here. So like.
Yes, and yes, you are the big guns. He's your backup.
Got it.
This is
finally.
Grib kind of
rolls It's my Zwom.
Yes, this Azure is your Zwom.
Come here, idiot.
So that's my main action. I will have Zwom attack the floating head.
Okay. Zwom makes a ranged attack, right? That's
yeah. Oh, shit. 9.
Zzz whips by, not hitting him. I will say the Azure can go on your turn right now.
Cool. I'll send the Azure up towards the big man in the circle.
Azer steps up. Fuck. I'm a little Zwom. And he takes the swing, I guess, at him?
Yeah, he's got a warhammer.
Cool. So roll your attack and tell me if you have.
Jesus Christ. An 8.
Bing. Just bounces off its leg, not hurting it at all.
And I'm just kind of looking around like both of my guys just fucking whiffed.
Do you want to move at all? Because you're right there, right in this thing's face. I mean, you could take, you might take a reaction. It would get a reaction to hit you if you left its area, but it is very close to you and it's like a towering, powerful thing.
Yeah, I'll drop back the...
Sorry, just to be clear about what I'm saying.
He'd get an attack of opportunity.
He would get an attack of opportunity. I don't know, actually. I'm thinking...
Oh, you know what? Actually, I can zoop myself out.
He might not be able to do that on this turn with that many actions, it seems like.
It's okay.
I can do it next turn.
Cool. Yeah. So you're just going to hunker down, like face off against this thing.
Yeah.
You're seeing these two titans facing off. And just to give you more of a lay of the land, there's this platform that you... This, like, if you remember how you came into town, there's the lower level. There's that sort of medium elevation where you did the couch bit, and then there's this third tier that you're on right now. You can go up the hill as well, but that's sort of the geography of what you're dealing with. The only thing really close by is the second level that's like 15 feet below you.
Okay.
That said, you know, if you were like, I run into the town instead of fight this, that would, I would understand what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. That is Grib's turn.
Who has the spear right now?
I thought Uh-Oh had it, but great. I don't know.
I think you took it from me when we left. I might be wrong.
You took it and tried to get it, like, go into the circle, yeah. And then this guy...
Because that guy tried to...
Oh, that's
it.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I will say, I will say for that. Free, yeah. These trees are all blown over, completely uprooted mm-hmm. from where they were. You see that these runes are no longer glowing. Mm-hmm. That this area had this, like, powerful magic longer is activated.
It's safe to assume the magnification aspect is done.
Yes.
Yes, not available.
It is not available to you at this moment. Copy while the trees are down. And it also, they're just massive trees that you can't physically lift up yourself. Is just something that you...
Are the real quick, are the runes on the ground and then the trees are over the runes?
The trees encircle the runes
the trees and the runes are separate.
The trees power the runes.
Got it.
Is the what mechanically you should understand.
Okay.
So the runes aren't like broken or anything. They just have no power source at the moment.
Excellent. I can't wait for my next turn.
Great. And just keep in mind, this giant rampaging creature can destroy anything that you put in front of it. And so be tactful about when you do stuff like that is all I'll say. Cool. So that was Grib's turn. Uh-oh, you are up.
Okay, I have a longbow.
Okay.
Am I correct in understanding there's a body and a head?
Yes, two separate entities that you're fighting at the moment. The body is really formidable looking. Mm-hmm. That little floating elephant head hasn't talked at all. Like mm-hmm. Who knows if it's like as like intelligent as a person, but mm-hmm. it is in the fight.
Okay. I think, you know, to me, maybe the elephant head... Maybe I'm like, no, that feels like not as dangerous, but the metal body. Can I make an attack?
Yes.
On the metal body.
I will let you know that you probably have a something that will do more damage than a bow if you do up close.
You know, am I that close?
I would say that you are within range.
I can maul?
Yeah, you can walk up to it and maul. Hit it with your maul.
Okay. Hit it with my maul? Okay, great. Then I'll do that instead. I didn't know I was that close. Okay, great.
And I will say, though... There's this spear right here. Could be a weapon if you wanted to use it.
His spear?
The spear that is there. Yeah. That is in play. Whatever is going on there. Okay. I would say it looks like a pretty powerful melee weapon. What it seems like.
So I might use that, but just so I, just in case it matters. Cool. There's no way that if I shoot a longbow so well, it goes through the body and then also hits the head and I get both of them. That's possible, right?
That could be cool. They're definitely very strong and powerful things that one arrow wouldn't just kill both of them in one shot. Okay.
Hey, I'm just
good to ask. Why not ask? It's fair to ask. No bad question.
Let's clarify
when we need.
Let's clear the air.
Because we don't want viewers at home to wonder why I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Because they'll be thinking it. Okay.
The tactical move is to shoot an arrow that kills both of them.
Yeah, if that's cool. I'll pick up the spear if that's not fucked up. Does that
peace sign from Grib?
Did it, yeah.
Okay. Cool. I don't know the stats for that thing, but
I will say that it gives you it's a +2 weapon. So right now your weapon is a plus let me see your character sheet actually.
So yeah, my longbow says hit DC +8, maul +6.
Hit DC +8, maul +6. Okay, so Spear's going to be, just do that and add 2 to either of those. So it'd be plus 10 and plus 8.
Okay.
So plus 10 to hit. So you roll, when you roll d20, you add 10.
Okay, cool.
You add 10.
Okay, cool. 25.
Hell yeah. You take this spear, you make clear contact with this massive entity in front of you.
Awesome.
It seems like you can tell that it's going, it's like has a hard shell. Remember when this little dinky guy like bounced off of it?
Yeah.
It seems very hard to get through this, but you do get through it. Okay. Roll damage on that guy.
Okay, and do I do 2d6 plus 3 for my
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. 2d6 plus 5, I would say.
Okay, cool. So 5 plus 6, 11. 11 plus 5, 16.
You do 16 Ooh. Damage okay. off the rip.
Sick.
And do you have 2 attacks? Off the rip. I will yes. just say. Okay.
Can I do this same thing again?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
23.
Woo! Woo! Hit.
Okay. 14.
So you've done 30 damage to him in okay. this round? Wow.
It's breathtaking. It's like a ribbon dancer.
Yes, yes.
You run in.
I run in, hair blowing in the wind, even if it's short, whatever. I do kind of like a baton twirl, and I want to stick it up his perineum. Damn.
You see this perineum. Robot, warforged elf.
That has a warforged taint. Perineum. Yeah.
He's like, ow! We weren't expecting as much of a reaction, but he was frankly shocked.
I'm like a little torn because that like what she did was awesome, but I also like never understood ribbon dancing, and I know like it is cool to some people, but I'm like, oh yeah.
I'll explain it later.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm like, it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, your hesitation is like, I know people think it's cool. I don't think.
Yeah,
it's cool.
I'm just not really appreciating it, but I know it's supposed to be good.
Yeah.
Do you do anything else with your turn?
Is it fucked up to action surge? Or can I not do that now that I've done 2 turns?
You can action surge, yeah. But that would be your action surge for this fight.
This is our last episode.
Yeah, I would save. I would definitely goose it at some point.
Yeah,
yeah, it'd be silly to not use it.
Yeah,
it's just about when you'd like to. In my humble opinion,
up to you.
I'll save. Can I second wind?
Are you hurt? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
you
can use it. I'm at like 29 or something.
Yeah, yeah, okay. You can second wind.
4 plus 6, so I add 10.
10 health. You got 10 health back.
Great.
You see this ribbon sort of enshroud healing.
It gives me a little kiss, and I go, ooh, that's what I needed.
Wraps a wound.
Yes.
Cool. So that is Uh-oh's turn. Amazing turn from Uh-oh. It is now this bronze Barnabas's turn. He looks down at you, Uh-oh. You have his full attention as, you know.
She's like a little flattered. Because she has a fucked up kind of brain.
He is going to look at you and do like his arms come out, and one just shoots into itself and comes out, and it's an axe, and one shoots into itself and comes out, and it's a hammer. Mm-hmm. And it is going to take 2 attacks on you.
What the heck?
First one. Oh, that is a d10, Zach. First one is, does a 17 hit.
Armor class 16.
That will hit.
Does hit.
And then second one is only a 2. So the second one misses. The hammer misses, but the axe hand does hit you.
Okay.
He looks at you and full of rage, pulls out this whirling axe. So it's going to hit you for a lot. Oh. Unbelievable. 3d8 plus 6, only hit you for 13.
Okay, great.
You rolled a 1, a 3, and a 4.
Glad I took a little short rest.
Something like that. He's looking around at you two. He's just going to stand here and continue to fight. It doesn't seem like he's trying to rip the at this point, the spear from you. He's trying to kill you. After that, Sago, you're up.
The damage that I saw Uh-oh do, like, how weak does he look?
Really okay.
He looks really okay.
He looks better.
Yeah. It hurt him, but it does look like he's fine. Yeah.
Based on what I'm receiving from him, and like, because he looks like Warforged, you know, does he look like he would take psychic damage, or he's like not a brained?
I would say that Sago would think that this man would be hurt by psychic damage.
Okay, cool. So
it seems like there is a mind in there, even if the body does not reflect organic material.
And then I I saw Grib notice that jewel in the floating heads mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because that guy did a lot of damage to me. It really hurt.
He's a big meanie.
Yeah.
Be nice. That's the thing.
Does the jewel look like tightly in there?
The jewel looks like it's tightly in there. It's more about the fact that I think it seems like this thing is concentrating on a spell through the jewel was maybe what. But maybe you can do something to get it out of there.
I'm just going to try this. I look at this big warforged guy, and I decide to cast Rolothim's Psychic Lance.
Ooh, what does that do?
I unleash a shimmering lance of psychic power from my forehead, and he must save on an intelligence throw. If he fails, he takes 7d6 psychic damage and is incapacitated until the start of my next turn.
D6?
He has to make what kind of save?
DC 14 intelligence saving throw.
Beef it. 14. Fucking beef it.
The possibility and, of 42 points of damage.
Doing the psychic thing, I'm going, beef it, beef it. And this laser shooting out of my head at him.
Okay. Oh my God. I'm going to peek behind the curtain. I'm using stats of something that is not this, you know, like homebrewing something. The intelligence reflected on here is definitely not what this character's intelligence would be. So I'm going to homebrew that. He gets a +6 to intelligence.
Wow, he's a smart boy.
He's smart. That's this whole thing. He's, you know, like these guys are inventors.
They're smart boys.
Let's see. What do you have to be?
14.
You see him just look at you, and as you make eye contact with it, he's like, I've never beefed it, and I'm like, and he is locked up by whatever spell you just did.
It's beef time, baby!
People are looking around, like, holding lava streams, like, what does he mean by beat? God, this guy's charismatic. So again, you
7d6 psychic damage and incapacitated till the start of my next turn.
Holy shit. Okay. Sago steps into the spotlight. So roll that 7d6. That sucks for my guy.
23 psychic damage.
Oh, ooh, spicy.
Smack him.
That's a spicy grape jelly meatball.
Spicy beef.
You see spicy Saga rise up seemingly from nowhere, like kind of behind you guys, all this first part has happened.
Right before I use my bonus action to switch my
insane
my new leather shield to just say, fuck you, big dude. It's like a t-shirt now.
Yeah. It's like an airbrushed leather t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Like a boardwalk tee.
FYBD in big letters where you're like, is that a play on something?
It's like a big leather t-shirt. Like
leather t-shirt.
Yeah, it's down to my knees. And so then I go, beef it. And yeah, he beefs it and takes 23 psychic damage.
Okay,
so cool.
And then it's like, I think the shirt fucks him up more. I think he's like, FYBD. And so he's also incapacitated.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure that out.
Jesus Christ.
He's like a federal bot. Like, there's the FBI shirts I've seen. Like, is for the Beaver Inspector. Yeah.
For your consideration.
Okay. Well, he's like, he's basically frozen as you've done this.
For your
huge turn from Sago.
Really nice.
After
so
that,
cool.
The mountain continues to rumble. I'm going to roll a d4 and you will incur the effects of whichever it lands on. Lands on a 2, lava spews out. So everybody make a dexterity saving throw.
7.
10.
18.
Okay, so those who fail will take 5 halved to 3. That fire potion's coming in strong. So 3 damage for you, and you pass. So you'll also take 3 because... No. You'll take 1 point of damage. Okay. Yeah.
And as I take that damage, I go... I should have used my bonus action to heal. as I'm looking at my...
You're not lucky this man has not heard you. gosh, okay. So after that, it is... The mountain continues to rumble. The ground is like splitting all around you. That is up to the top of the order where that happened. This thing's going to fly by one more time. It's going to try to recharge its weapon, the thing that's flying. It does not, so it's going to fly in. How's everyone looking?
23 hit points.
33. 18.
Okay. It's going to fly in. It's going to fly in at Sago, I think, and take 2 attacks. Natural 20.
Misses.
20. Yeah, you don't even get it.
Natural 20 and 19. Okay. So that is going to be kind of a rough one. So that the first one, first attack hits you for 24 damage.
I'm down.
Okay. Second attack, one death save for Sago. Does your spell maintain after?
No.
After the.
Oh, wait, which one? No, the one I cast on him does, but the enhance ability one does.
It's gone. Cat. Okay. You see Sago in his big leather t-shirt. This crazy elephant robot flies in and slashes at him, taking him out, and flies by. After that, it is Grib's turn.
And sorry, it's a failed death save,
it's
right away.
It's one failed death save.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We all know the t-shirt is what incapacitated the guy, but I really think I could have healed him that instead with that bonus action.
No, you
if
can't
it makes
look
you
back.
Feel any better, that second hit would have also done a lot more damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Azure looks up. More work. More work, sir.
It is a World of War. It's a Warcraft peon, it sounds like.
Yep.
Perfect.
More work. And so I'm gonna do it a little out of order. Can I send Azure first?
Okay.
And so he'll make. We'll go ahead and have him attack our boy who's incapacitated.
Yes.
So we'll roll to hit.
Let me double check like what this does to the attacks when you're incapacitated. They can't take actions or reactions, so he's just there. Okay. Doesn't say anything about advantage. You know, it's that would be paralyzed. So it's just incapacitated. It can't take actions and reactions. So it's just standing there. Yeah.
Cool. So he's going to roll a hit.
And I'll say for the record, like, you know how you couldn't move before without taking an attack of opportunity? Mm-hmm. You can't take reactions right now.
Great.
Cool. Everybody piss on him.
you hear a body murmur.
He doesn't. What's his? He doesn't hit. It's like a 10.
Okay, yeah, it doesn't hit. Clanks.
Zwom touches Grib, puts his fingers to his temple, and teleports a la Goku. And he's going to teleport Grib onto the rune area.
Okay.
And then Grib's going to take his staff, and he's going to plant it to where the tree is on the rune, and he's going to turn his staff into a tree.
I love this. Let me just clarify something.
Yes.
So the runes are in the center. The trees are on the outside.
Great.
You are already on the runes right now.
Okay. Then I want to put the tree to power the rune.
Cool.
That's my intention.
Okay.
And I know it won't be as powerful, but
let's
I'm going to try.
Make a nature check. Something about going over here and checking where these trees were feels correct to you.
Okay.
As you look at these special trees that were knocked aside, make a nature check.
6.
It's hard to tell what's going on here, but something tells you that you're on to something, but the staff itself is not the right type of tree. Grib, fill your pocket.
Ooh.
Bounce in your chest.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so Grib is going to put the seed down and he'll cast plant growth.
Grib, you feel the seed in your pocket that you've carried with you from the beginning of your journey since the second arc. Just kind of guiding you where you need to go, and you find that you're in the place that you need to be as you put the seed in the ground and you cast plant growth on it.
Yeah, so I put as much good juju into this seed, into the ground, as possible.
Plant growth is a what level spell? Or?
It's a third level spell.
So as this third level spell, you know, races into the ground, and as the seed hits the ground, you feel it just immediately thrive in the spot where these trees have been for so long. And you see this swirling wood rise up out of it as this redwood grows into the spot. You see that the runes themselves sort of charge up. It's not 9 trees, but it is something.
Yeah.
As
Grib whispers to himself, "Don't come home, bitch." And then
to who did you say that to?
To himself.
Razor's like, what?
And then I guess to finish it out, just because I have it, I'll attack the floating thing with Zwom.
Okay.
If that's cool.
Amount of things you've done this turn.
Oh, I've used the teleportation with Zwom, so he doesn't.
Yeah, Zwom may not have an action this turn.
Since I used a spell, I can't use a bonus action spell. So I'm done.
Yes, that's correct. Amazing turn as this tree fills this air. Like you see like the, it's almost like a breath of fresh air in this whole room. Everything here feels so much better to you and feels like there is hope in this horrifying volcanic landscape. Great. After Grib goes, it is Uh-oh's turn. You're still facing off against this incapacitated guy in front of you.
Yes. And I think I shall continue to.
Cool.
Unless, because I can't even help you. I'm a barbarian. I don't have any.
Hey, pummel his taint.
Yeah, thank you. So I still have the spear, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So I shall attack. Plus, what was the
10?
12.
Binks off of the side of him, even though he's completely still.
Okay.
You saw Sago go down. You're feeling like the pressures of a battle. It's scary.
Yeah, that's exactly why I fucked up. Okay.
And you got your second attack if you
want to. I'm going to do the same thing. Sorry. 18 plus 10, 28.
That hits for sure.
Okay, great.
Did you already use your second wind?
I used second wind. I didn't use the action surge.
Got it, yeah.
So I think I'm... I don't know. So we said it was 2d6 plus 5? Is that what we said?
Yes.
Okay. 10.
10 damage?
Yeah.
Cool.
And then I would like to action surge.
You see the battlefield take over as decides to just go in, go all out on this guy. Take two more attacks.
Okay. 17.
Does not hit.
Fuck! Nat one.
unfortunate. It's a blow. Deeply unfortunate. Uh-oh.
She goes to herself the way you went to yourself. Yeah. She goes, fucking... Classic uh-oh, blowing it all the time when it matters, bitch.
Sago, you've two death saves. You are in this sort of liminal space. You're seeing your time in Solanport. You're seeing all the nastiest burgers you've eaten, all this toilet that you've munched on over the years. You see Fiona, beautiful hippo-like body, smile, face.
I can't wait to see you again.
Wake up and handle that beeping noise. Someone probably still asleep. You see Nathan Nosher in your mind. Don't worry, Sago. I'll take care of her. And you feel something rooting around on you, and then you hear God, I was thirsty. And you feel yourself wake up as Kerp is standing over you drinking from your canteen. Thank you. Any more of that red stuff?
Red stuff.
The red. Everyone had red water earlier.
Oh, they said fire. The fire protecting.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to be in town. I feel bad. Not allowed to be here.
What's happening?
He has just used a cure wounds on you. You have five. He was a priest, so you have 5 HP. Okay. He's still over you. He's still looking rough.
He was a priest.
What's that supposed to mean?
I guess it's just you're disgusting, and that makes sense to me.
Priests are often disgusting.
I know, that makes sense. I was like shocked at how well it lined up.
Yeah, well, and Sago, he's going to go on your turn. Kerp is also going to go on initiative 4. After that, Mount Trunkus goes off. I'm going to roll a d4, and that will be... Okay, a 2. It's another burst of flame.
Ay, caramba.
Is that a new... Wait, what was your college job?
We'll see.
We might not!
7 points of damage. Okay. If you... Unless you pass... Like, it's a DC 12 dex save.
So,
tie goes to whom?
If you get a 12, you pass.
Cool.
12. I got a 12.
You got a
12.
So you take half of 7.
3.5.
Did we roll this already?
Take 3 damage. So you have 2 health now.
Did we roll this?
Huh?
I thought we rolled 14.
We do it every round now. With
great,
these.
Perfect.
So
great.
You pass, but you take half, you take a quarter. So you take 2 damage.
Great.
Jacob, you should roll for the Azer and Zwam as well.
Oh, shoot.
I didn't even think about that. Zwam passes. Azure fails.
Okay, the Azure takes 7 damage, unless he has some kind of fire
resistance. Oh, yeah, he doesn't take fire damage.
Oh, yeah, so he does not immune take to fire. Yeah, yeah, he doesn't take any damage.
Great.
It's like, fuck, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
More work.
More work.
Right after on. That, it is this flying thing's turn. That thing looks down at the battlefield and it's going to try and does not get its breath weapon back.
Ooh.
And that means it is going to go for it's this is a mean calculated thing. It's going to go for Sago again.
Good to be alive. Still pretty weak though.
I'm glad my friend's standing again.
Hey.
Okay, first attack is a 4. He misses. Second attack, 15.
Hits.
Okay. Hits someone, but not you. You see as Kerp stands above you, having just healed you, like, fuck, man. I haven't been in town and just get slashed in the back and fall over unconscious. Kerp is down.
I loved it.
Huge reveal. Wait, are you serious?
After
what was it about him?
Oh, you couldn't see our chemistry bouncing off the chart.
I'll have to play the tape.
After that, it is we are at Grib's turn. Grib.
Cool. I'll kind of keep the flow going where Azure will go first. He's going to attack the big man.
18 does not hit.
An 18 doesn't hit?
This thing's metallic body is so powerful that it has an extremely high armor class.
Okay, cool. pretty sick.
It already took its turn, I think. So that is the Azer's turn. What else you can do? Yeah.
Do I heal the guy or do I attack? That's where my head's at. Do I heal?
Make another insight check.
Okay. Oh, fucking A. 9.
With advantage, I'll say that with that tree that you have just put here,
25.
You see this little, like, horrifying robot flying around on top of the already scary guy in front of you. And remember once again that this thing is concentrating on some sort of spell.
Oh, that's right.
You feel that and you don't know what it is on a 25 that you just feel like...
Would I know if is it a magical concentration?
Yeah.
Could I dispel magic? Or does that not interrupt?
No. Right. So here's the thing.
We'll scrap it.
You can't, unfortunately, I can't spoil what this is, but it for very like kind of obnoxious reasons, you can't dispel magic on this.
Okay.
But you know that to end a concentration spell, you can do a lot of damage to something.
Right.
And they have to make a concentration check.
Cool. I'm going to cast Tidal Wave.
Cool.
On the flying thing.
This flying thing. What is the like?
120 feet, instantaneous. It's a 10 feet. The area can be up to 30 feet long, 10 feet wide, and 10 feet tall.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that it's just like flying lower, having just dive bombed Kerp, and then and it's still at lowish. What kind of save? Dexterity saving throw. Okay.
DC 15.
Let's see how this goes. It has 0 to dex. Surprisingly.
Great.
We're all to 17. Oh, but it takes half damage?
Yeah. I was trying to knock it prone, though.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a... Yeah, I'll take 48 half.
4d8 half?
Yes.
Do you want to roll that?
24.
24 so damage. 12 damage.
Yeah.
Damn, that okay. would be tight.
And this isn't a big enough zone to also hit the guy in the circle, right?
I think that for the sake of this, they were kind of not in the same spot.
That's fair. And Zwam will get an attack.
Yeah, attack with Zwam first, and we'll keep track of all the damage that was done to him this turn.
19.
19 to hit, that'll hit.
Okay.
Zwam just like goes in, concentrates really hard. You see this little mushroom scrunching its face. Come on, come on.
9 damage.
So 12 plus 9, 21 damage to this guy. Okay.
Azure absolutely beefing this entire mission. Hasn't made one hit.
Well, it's just unfortunate that it's like only thing it's fighting is like a beefy. Super,
yeah.
Which is great for Zwam.
Yeah, he's really helping his confidence.
I am the number one guy.
You're my boss, right?
So it has to make 10 plus half the damage it took. So it took 21 damage. So it has to make a DC 20 constitution save. Is that right? I'm going to make this con save on the board. As you cast Tidal Wave and Swam hits this horrific fiery loogie at this guy, you see it spin in the air as it gets hit. The crystal in its head cracks. You see light pop out of it. And you see, as this crystal cracks in its head, you see from the center of this glen a form appear. And you see a bright light that blinds you for a second. And then standing before you is a familiar feeling Loxodon.
Oh.
That you haven't met in your adult life.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Similar purplish gem in their head.
Mm-hmm.
Similar wisping hair, similar rippling muscles, a similar vest and pants. Looks up at you and says,
"Jolly good show, old chap."
You must be the one who called.
The name's Jib.
Grib.
I know. Fancy meeting you here.
Grib, his jaw is like, there's a lot going on, but he is gobsmacked right now.
I'll hold the line.
And you see him wild shape into a giant snapping turtle.
Fuck yeah.
And he goes in and starts plowing at the Warforged Titan in front of him. You see this big ass turtle snap at this body, and they're just like locked into this fight in front of you.
Hell yeah.
Seeking deep inspiration from this. Wow, an animal that you don't think could really be a giant metal man is doing it.
He's going to go on your turn.
Jib, you said?
Jib.
Wow. Was it?
Papa?
It must be his neighbor or something. Like from growing up.
You know how neighbors have the same name?
Oh, are they his doctor?
You see here. He's like, can't talk at all. After that, Jib is now on the battlefield. He'll go on the next turn. Incredible. Let's make sure I got everything right. Uh-oh, it is your turn. You see this big snapping turtle come up next to you and start fighting the thing in front of you.
She beholds this beautiful, inspirational sight. Wow, a turtle can be a hero. In a half shell, no less.
The Azer looks at you and sort of squints like, what am I even doing here?
I mean, my God, I could just attack again. I'm going to take the spear.
Hey, if it ain't broke.
And you know, it, we might believe it is broken after the last one. So I will attack. That is 23.
Nice. 23 hits.
Okay, great.
Who let the dogs out?
Who did it?
And that's number one of 23 hits coming up. Okay, 2d6. So that's 5 plus 5, 10.
10 damage?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Great, great, great.
Okay, and I'm going to hit again.
Okay.
I'm going to try again. 16.
Does not hit.
Okay. I have an extra attack as something special. I don't know.
I think that is your second attack.
Is it?
I think that might be.
Is that what that is? It's counted in the... Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Great. Oh, it's okay.
I'm sorry.
Ooh. Jacob?
Oh, okay. Damn it, Bob.
Then I have nothing, I think.
Well, you're still locked in it with this thing in front of you.
Yeah.
It's starting to look pretty hurt. That is the end of Uh-Oh's turn. It is that dude's turn, though. He's looking at you and he's pissed. He's being grappled by this turtle. He's like restrained in this one spot. He's looking pissed. He's looking at the tree. He was like going to try to go for the tree. But now who all is still near him?
I think me.
And Azure.
Okay.
And the turtle.
And the turtle. It's going to use a special move of its where it takes the axe and takes a sweeping axe attack across. Make a dex saving throw. Make one for the Azure, and I'll make one for the turtle.
17.
15.
17 meets it. You don't have advantage, right? You didn't do it with advantage, right?
I didn't do it with advantage.
Okay, cool. Because you don't have Cat's Grace anymore.
Okay. Thing.
So that's right. 17 passes. 15 does not pass. The giant snapping turtle passes. Okay, so you will take 12 damage as it sweeps across. Everyone takes 12. You take 6. And 6 for the turtle as well.
That guy has to take a 1d10 fire damage for hitting Azure.
Ooh, okay.
Love that.
Anytime he hits.
Should I just roll it?
Go for it.
1. Sorry.
Well, maybe I can roll it.
Actually, wait, hold on.
I think it's probably better if I do it.
Incredible. Now it is Sago and Kerp's turn. Kerp is unconscious in front of you. I'm going to make a death save for Kerp. Passes. Kerp is on the ground. Sago, your turn.
So I'll cast Cure Wounds, and I will get to add 18 hit points, which puts me at
20.
20.
Incredible.
And then with my bonus action, I will give Bardic Inspiration to, who needs it? Everyone?
The giant turtle.
Who?
Probably the giant turtle.
The tractor?
I said the giant turtle.
Oh.
My feeling is that he might be really strong.
I'm trying to kill this big metal man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll give Uh-Oh Bardic Inspiration.
Thank you.
I'll look at Uh-Oh and say, Uh-Oh, today we all eat toilet. And then I put my fist in the air and go, winning!
Thank you, Greg!
Make a luck check after you say your multiple catchphrases.
Okay. 7.
Okay. Carl is not there.
That's so funny.
Oh, sorry, Carter. Yeah. Cool. So that was you're feeling invigorated. Your health is up to a more stable level. That was Sago's turn. Kerp is more stabilized. The mountain continues to rumble. You feel like the earth splitting around you. These druids and centurions who are trying to like do damage control are now running from this spot. There is just free flowing lava, kind of splitting where you guys are, but it is sort of starting to surround the area in which you are. They have pulled back to more like, it's like edging towards the town.
Yeah.
At this point,
is there another line of defense like for the town?
They're defending the town closer to like where people are now. They were further up the hill, and now they are closer to town.
Got it.
As this happens, everybody, I'm going to make another D4 roll. 1. You got the only good one, so you don't have to make a dex save or anything this turn. You have a feeling that next round is going to be a lot worse in terms of the volcano.
Interesting.
Now we are back up to the top of the order. The flying thing is looking around for the most appropriate target. It is going to go for you're going to take 2. Oh, sorry, I forgot to. Okay.
I'm giving the flying head the finger.
The thing flies by you all. you see like a little like robot eye, like clock that and zoom in on it and then go like look back and forth. It seems pissed off and flies past. As it goes up to you, it is going to take this breath weapon again. It did recharge its breath weapon. So you are going to take a lot of fire damage.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Still grabbing dice. Like he's still grabbing dice, and he's still grabbing dice.
Damn.
I mean, so.
Based on Tommy's face, it's not looking great.
Interesting.
Make a DC 14 dexterity saving throw.
12. Plus 3, 15.
Okay. So, full damage would be 36 points of fire damage. This is halved because of your fire resistance.
Okay.
You pass the save, so it is halved again.
Okay.
So
18 divided by 2, 9.
You take 9 points of damage instead.
Beep, boop, bop. 6.
The Azer is torched fine. It's okay. Yeah. It's like, why are we doing this?
Doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt.
Why are you? You're not doing shit.
I don't know what this is. the snapping turtle is in the fray. The snapping turtle took the whole brunt of damage.
No.
Oh wait, let me actually.
Just got hit pretty bad.
Your neighbor?
Grib's neighbor.
His neighbor.
Grib's
Jim.
Neighbor, comma dad.
He gets torched by this thing. That he's sturdy. He's looking okay, but he took a lot of damage.
It's okay.
After that, it is Grib's turn.
My turn, you say.
Grib.
Yes, great. Azure will go ahead and attack.
More work.
More work.
Please fucking smack one, my guy.
Oh, sorry. You roll that, right?
That rolls.
Yes.
Okay.
18 doesn't hit. Bastard. Is Grib feeling anything by like when he stands on the rune? Is there anything happening?
There's power like in that spot. Like if you were to go over there and make a nature check and then tell me what you want to do, maybe we could like figure it out. But I don't know that.
I figure like. Yeah, is it close enough that I can move in my turn?
If you can move over to it, but you will be within range of the bronze Barnabas guy.
Okay, man.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll do a nature check.
Cool. You stand in the spot, you make the nature check. Tell me what you roll.
5.
I will say you can make the nature check with advantage.
22.
Grib, you feel the power of the staff that you have just combined with your flame seed and grown this amazing tree out of. Coursing through the spot, and you feel it just like the natural energy of this place. Even though this like horrifying volcano spilling over this town is extremely scary for a lot of reasons, you also have to recognize that that is part of the natural world to a degree, and you are able to like kind of tap into that power as well. I will say that you can cast a spell at 2 levels higher than you normally would at the cost of a regular spell.
Shit. Okay, cool. I'm going to cast Scorching Ray. I can't. If I've used my 4th level slot, I don't have access to that slot at level 6, correct?
I would say not. But if you had a 3rd, you could do a 5th.
Yeah, cool. You said this guy was intelligence-based, right? You had mentioned that earlier.
I said he has good intelligence, but yes. Yeah.
How far away from him am I?
The bronze Barnabas guy?
Yes.
He is right in front of you. Are you talking about the flying thing or the...
The bronze man.
He's right in front of you.
Yeah. And the bronze... The flying thing is still alive.
Yeah. Barely, only hurt a little bit.
Okay. I'm going to go for the big man. And I'm going to do Burning Hands because I think it'll be better than trying to... do the AC because
okay.
He's got such a high AC, so he's got to make a dex save of 15.
Okay. Not extremely dexterous. I'll make this roll in front of the board. I'll tell you right now, he has -1 to dex.
Ooh, I knew it was the right call.
That here rolls. We
go. Roll bad, beef it.
That's a 9.
Yes, he fails.
Cool.
Roll damage.
Damn.
27.
27 damage, and it's just a 1 target, or
it's a cone. So if that other thing is within the 15-foot cone,
make a luck check. I'll say over 15. Just roll it in front of the board.
It's a natural fail.
It flew. It buzzed past your ear past your ear in a way that scares you, like when a bee kind of is like near you.
The heebie-jeebies. Dad, was that cool?
As he like shoots his fire.
Dad, check this out. Is it cool?
So it's only this guy. How much damage was it?
27.
Okay. This cone of flame, just you see like his black outline as fire just rips around him. Badly hurting him, he is still standing. He is starting to smoke and sizzle though.
Woohoo! Thank you, Past Zach, and thank you for listening to this Arc 7 of the Rotating Heroes podcast. And if you're ever curious as to why at the end of every episode Zach says, we'll be back next week with the Arc Bark, and then there isn't an Arc Bark, it's just like the next episode, that's because these were, well, previously recorded old episodes, and actually these are episodes that we put out on the Patreon in their full and glorious form, and then the week after they come out, we release the Arc Bark. So if you want to hear those Arc Barks, the only place to get those is on the Patreon. So head over to there. There's a link in the description below. But until then, I want to say thank you so much for listening to Arc 7 with your rotators of this arc, which are Jacob Waisaki, Dan Lippert, and Reka Shankar, with your DM, Zach Oyama. And this episode has been edited and produced by Zach Oyama and me, Jasper William Cartwright. Until then, we will catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot-knot.
Very good. I got here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.